Continue to the next case, which is Mid-America Ag Products versus Perkins County Board of Equalization. Mr. Bud Spreebrick, good morning to you, and Mr. Maul, good morning to you. Do either council have any questions before we begin? Mr. Bud Spreebrick, then you may approach and you may proceed.
May it please the court, Zachary Bud Spreebrick on behalf of Mid-America Agri Products Wheatland Industries LLC. I'd like to reserve 1 minute and 30 seconds for rebuttal. Your Honors, this case fundamentally comes down to a simple issue of whether or not, as applied under Nebraska law, Nebraska Revised Statute 77-1502 acts as a jurisdictional statute which, if not complied with, completely divests an administrative body over subject matter jurisdiction over proceeding, or in the alternate, if the timelines set within the statute act more like a statute of limitations, which an administrative agency is free to waive. In other jurisdictions, when this issue is analyzed, generally the courts look to the language of the statute itself and make a question.
What have we said about this?
I don't think in a situation like this, this court has specifically addressed the situation in determining whether or not this would be directory or a mandatory directory situation. And so looking at the statute itself, courts inquire as to whether or not the language imposed is directory or mandatory. Meaning, does the statute give any wiggle room for an administrative body, such as a county board of equalization, to provide for waiver? In this situation, analyzing the statute as a whole, it's clear that the language used is more directory than mandatory. The first analysis of this comes from the fact that the statute as a whole uses a variety of words that can be interpreted either in a mandatory or a directory fashion. Those words include must, will, shall. When the words shall are used, they generally in the statute in 1502 are used in a more directory manner, meaning they are used in a position where a county must do something, but equivocally. And we point out a couple of instances of that in our brief. Conversely, when the statute uses will and shall, there's no equivocation beyond those sentiments. As a result, when there's the deadline in the case set forth of shall, that the court or that the protester shall file within a certain time period, that is one of the times where it's used in a more equivocal time frame. It's not setting forth that there is a specific ability to do this, and if it is not done, there is a waiver of jurisdiction.
Under the code.
Pardon me. I think you were going where I was going.
This happens. Under 350 Nebraska Administrative Code, Chapter 10, Section 003.03A, you know this one, right? How does that inform our discussion? It reads, a protest is not timely filed, it will be automatically dismissed. What do we make of that?
I think you make of it that the protest itself is automatically dismissed, but I don't think that deprives the administrative body of jurisdiction to still resolve the issue. When you look at the totality of the statutory scheme concerning the administrative body, the administrative body's first and foremost duty in a tax appeal situation is to make certain...
Let me ask you the follow-up, because you're using jurisdiction. Is there another way? Not all time limits are created equal. Some are jurisdictional and some are sort of claim processing, as we've discussed. Which is this?
It would fall more into the claim processing.
So, as I understood your answer, it would both be dismissed and resolved on the merits? Is that what you're saying?
No, Your Honor. I think the fact that dismissal occurs doesn't rob the administrative body over jurisdiction to still resolve whether or not the property is appropriately assessed. And so it still is within the purview of the County Board of Equalization to make that determination. It's still one of their obligations.
So assume that someone shows up 6 months later after the levies have been done and tax notices have gone out, and they say, now I want to do it. You think the County Board has the authority to do it then?
I would think the County Board has an obligation to obtain the correct valuation of the property. So if the county board felt that it was clearly without authority to do so,
I guess
I'm correct on that here. They would not at that point in time have the authority because they're outside of the month in which they're able to proceed And so the statute sets forth that essentially in a smaller county such as Perkins, July is the month that they have the ability to proceed. They heard this matter within the month of July still, which is where I think they still have the jurisdiction to do so. Their fundamental obligation is get to the right valuation. They're still within the time period where they would have the ability to obtain that fundamental goal, obtain the right valuation of the property, make sure property is properly assessed under the Nebraska Constitution.
So what does that reading of the statute and the related regulation do to the enforceability of the filing deadline by a taxpayer?
I think it would say that the county has the ability to waive the filing deadline as long as it's otherwise within its ability to act. So in a situation like this, the filing deadline is missed by a day. The county still accepts the filing. The county still sets a hearing date on it. The county still actually hears and discusses the matter at that hearing in the month of July.
Do county boards have constitutional limitations imposed upon them with respect to remission of taxes?
Yes.
And that's forbidden by the Constitution, isn't it?
Yes.
And consequently, isn't that your reading of the statute sort of problematic from a constitutional standpoint?
I don't think it is when you're in the confines of still that same limited time period of when they're in their ordinary meeting, again, with the goal of obtaining the proper valuation. Okay. In the instances you highlighted earlier where 6 months, 5 years down the road they do it, then I think it's, you're accurate, but that would create a problem. But in this confines where the county accepts the protest, and the county clerk herself is the one that accepts the protest in this case. It's not a situation where somebody who may have been less informed.
What are you suggesting that the county should or must do if they don't want to waive this deadline? They say, no, we won't take your protest. What do they need to do to rely on the failure to comply with the deadline?
I would think they say, we're not going to accept the filing, and we are not going to set a hearing date. The totality of those instances is what clearly creates a situation in this case where the county is waiving the ability. If you were to look at this in the context of a civil lawsuit with statute of limitations, the answer would be to raise the either file a motion to dismiss on the basis of the statute of limitations being missed, or at a minimum raise it as an affirmative defense. The county didn't do that during any point in time.
Do we have affirmative defenses in this kind of administrative proceeding?
No, there wouldn't be an affirmative defense other than not accepting the filing. So you're more akin to the motion to dismiss phase.
The county clerk is just to refuse, I'm not taking this?
Correct. Which is effectively what the county clerk tried to do the next day, as the record reflects, when she sent a letter saying, we're not accepting this, there is no hearing for you on this date, and moved on from it. And so, I mean, the county clearly believes it's within the ability to do it. It just chose not to initially. Now, the result of that choosing not to initially takes us to the second phase of it, which is at the County Board of Equalization meeting.
So the letter has no impact?
Correct.
The letter saying, we made an error, it was filed too late, no hearing, not going to consider it, has no effect at all?
Correct. Because the damage has already been done in terms of...
What damage has been done? The next day, the letter comes out and says, we're not going to consider it.
Well, the taxpayer has been put in a position where they've already been told and put in process the ability to rely upon that letter.
Are they in any worse position than they would have been if the county clerk had said, no, I'm not taking that document?
No, they'd be in the same position if the county clerk had said, no, we're not taking the document. But at that point in time, they've relied upon the document and put themselves in the position where they were intending to proceed with that hearing.
Well, don't we in this sort of estoppel environment to which you allude, haven't we always required that there was something that was done that was relied upon?
Yes, but the reliance is there in terms of they relied upon the fact that the county accepted it and proceeded forward at that time. And you can see it from the fact that there was no even attempt to move forward with a Turk proceeding until after that. Had the situation arisen where they just straight rejected it on July 1st, there would have been a filing immediately thereafter to proceed forward to Turk.
Was that reliance reasonable?
Yes, I believe that reliance was reasonable based upon the fact that Mr. Clough was told multiple times when the hearing would be in.
What's the reliance? Did the client go out and do something, or just... they had a belief they were going to get a hearing?
Well, the client attended the hearing and argued at the hearing as opposed to immediately proceeding forward to a Turk proceeding. The situation is the client puts themselves in the position where they lost time on when they could have been proceeding to TURC because of the fact that they thought there would be a hearing.
What authority does a clerk have to start denying filings? And is the clerk supposed to sit down and read through a complete filing, do a research, and then say, okay, I'll accept it? I mean, that doesn't seem practical under our system as we have it. If someone brings a filing in, the clerk accepts it, don't they?
No, I think generally the clerk does have the ability to reject filings when they don't comport to form, when they're in a situation like this where the clerk doesn't believe that the filing is appropriate or able to be accepted because it's outside of a time period.
So they need to sit down and they need to go through all that and do the research and make sure of all those things before they accept any filings.
I believe that's correct, yes.
Is that practical?
I think particularly in a smaller county like this, it is practical. And if you look at it in terms of court filings, clerks do reject things because they are not filed permissibly. I mean, this court has the ability same day to reject briefs when they are not formatted properly. It's something that's effectively instantaneous and done in short order.
So does the clerk have the authority to bind the Board of Equalization to hear the contest?
I think by accepting it and then by the board actually hearing the protest and hearing argument, even if the clerk doesn't have the ability to do so, the board itself has the ability to waive and did waive in this instance.
By allowing your client to argue at the hearing.
Correct. With that, Your Honor, we pray that you reverse TURC's determination that it lacks subject matter jurisdiction and reverse ordering TURC to proceed with a full hearing on the merits. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Maul, good morning to you.
Morning. May it please the court, my name is Tim Maul from the Rumble Lucky Law Firm. I'm here on behalf of the Perkins County Board of Equalization. As you're aware, this is a 2021 protest that was filed one day late. There are 2018, 19, and 20 protests that are pending in front of TURC that, again, were timely protested. But in this case, the appellants in this case missed it by a day. They filed on July 1st instead of June 30th. As you walk through the statute and the regulation, it leads to kind of three conclusions. One, it was automatically dismissed. There is not discretion in the county board to say we'll accept it or not accept it. Because of that, there was no jurisdiction, meaning that TURC couldn't do anything and this court cannot make any rulings on it other than to say you're too late. And there was no waiver. There's no ability to waive, and there was no waiver in this case. And starting with the statute is clear. It says shall be filed on June 30th. Again, the appellant has talked about directory versus mandatory and those types of things. I don't quite understand how that fits, but again, it's clear that this is it shall be done. And the regulations go further and confirm that, and the regulations, again, approved by the Department of Revenue, have the force of statutory law if they're reasonable. Then no argument that they're not. Those say must be filed.
When the code says automatically dismissed, is that import jurisdiction or does that import a claim processing rule or does it matter?
I don't know that it matters. And as we talk about jurisdiction, this court has said in the Village of North Platte case to say, well, to get jurisdiction in front of TURC, there's four things that the statute says you have to do in terms of they have authority over these types of cases. You can do the filing fee, you do those types of things. But then and the court said, well, that's one thing, but you have to go one step further to say, well, is there really anything that TURC has the power to decide? And in that case, it was a case where the protest form hadn't adequately described the property. The Board of Equalization said, we don't know what to do with this and dismissed it. And TURC said, well, that was a proper dismissal said, we're not going to look at it. And the court said, yeah, there was no authority, and whether you call it jurisdiction or not, there was no authority for TURC to do anything with it.
Should TURC have, in your view, just affirmed the dismissal rather than dismissing the TURC case? Or does it matter?
In my mind, I don't know that that there's a difference between the two in terms of, I suppose the effect of dismissing it from TURC is affirming the dismissal. But again, I don't know that it makes a difference procedurally as getting to the same result. And again, the court's cases talk about it in terms of not having jurisdiction. TURC's line of cases, when they've looked at this before, talks about not having jurisdiction. Again, in Village of North Platte, this court went a little bit further and said, well, yeah, it's sort of jurisdiction, but we're not talking about the four things in the statute. we're talking about something a little bit further than that. Getting in terms of waiver, again, these statutes are strictly construed. The Board of Equalization does not have the power to waive even if it wanted to. And as you think about the policy behind that, it would be a bad policy for the board to get to decide to say, well, yeah, that's my friend. I really want to waive it for them. But we really don't like that group. They've got a really good value on that. We're not going to waive on that. That's not the process that the statute sets forth, is to let boards of equalization. Their duty is to determine value, not to decide we like this person, so we'll waive. We don't like this person, so we'll not waive. There's no standards anywhere to decide whether it's a good waiver or a bad waiver. And so the statute just doesn't provide for that.
How about with respect to the powers of the clerk? There were some questions about how scholarly he or she needs to be upon receiving the papers.
This is all things that happen after the deadline is passed. So I don't know what the clerk could do or not do in terms of changing their compliance with the deadline. I suppose maybe a case for another day would be as if the clerk sent a letter to everybody and said, hey, I'm extending the deadline. You don't have to file by June 30th. You can file by July 15th. The clerk did something ahead of the deadline. Maybe that does something. I don't know if that gets to the point of waiving the statute. That's not the case here. The case here is that by the time it got to the clerk, the deadline was done. The statute, the regulation says it's automatically dismissed. There's really nothing. I don't think the clerk has the power or the board has the power to change that result. In addition, even if you got to the point of saying there could be a waiver, again, Turk's finding in the ruling was that by the preponderance of the evidence, there was not a hearing held in this matter, so that there actually wasn't a waiver, even if you got to that point.
Opposing counsel suggests that there was some argument at the hearing before the Board of Equalization, and the issue was taken up on its merits and decided by the board. Do you agree with that?
The dispute in the record would be, Your Honor, that the county's position would be that already on the agenda for that meeting was a discussion of what happened at the hearing on 2018, 19, and 20. So a hearing in front of Turk had happened. They had some time to discuss that. The appellant appeared there and wanted to argue about these. The position of the county is that we didn't take that up. We did have a discussion about these other things, but we didn't take that up. So there would be, based on this record of affidavits, there'd be a dispute in the record. Turk, based on the preponderance of the evidence, said we don't find enough evidence to say that they really took this up and provided a hearing.
Council, has the protest to the 2020 valuation been resolved yet?
No, the 18, 19, and 20 are pending in front of. We've had a hearing, but we're awaiting a Turk decision at this point.
And the valuation is the same for 20 and 2021, correct?
Correct. So in 2018, there was a value. It changed from 18 to 19. From 19 to 20, it did not change. From 20 to 21, it did not change. And there was some arguments in front of Turk that there was a failure by the clerk to send a notice of valuation change for the 2021 year, but there was no change in value from, again, it was on protest with Turk, but there was no change in what the actual value set by the assessor was from 20 to 21.
If the protest is successful as to the 2020 tax year, what impact does it have on this case?
None. Each year is separate, and so even though you have something pending in front of Turk for 1 year, the next year is a different year, and you have to do that again. So if by failing to protest this, they've agreed to the value for 2021, even if the value comes out different.
Even if it's over.
Pardon?
Even if it turns out that it was over.
Correct.
Thank you.
Unless there are questions, again, we would just respect the request that the court affirm Turk's order. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, thank you. And you are sort of excused, but...